My name is Jill Wolf. I'm 37 years old. Today is July 8th, 2017. I'm at the Chicago Cultural Center with my friend and fellow advocate.
My name is Kathy Hewitt. I'm 60 years old. This is July 8th, 2017, and I'm here with Jill, who is my friend and savior.
We share a favorite person in common. I'm going to just put in your words in your mouth that she's one of your favorite because she's one of my favorite. And it's my mom.
Yes.
Tell me about the first time you met my mom and at least what you remember.
The first time I met your mom was at the airport. I was bringing a puppy that she was getting for me. And when she saw the puppy, she started crying and she was emotional. And I felt a connection with her right then and there.
She's special.
She is special.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about what the platform of social media and say our friendship on there. Maybe has opened up for you or any opportunities that came along as a result.
Being friends with you on social media, I was able to find that there was help for me with my hepatitis C journey that I didn't know there was help out there before.
Did you know that I worked in Hep C?
No, I did not.
So what I remember was this post that you put out about, I almost saw it as like this coming out of, hey, I'm Kathy, I'm this cool chick, I got this really great photography, look at my dogs, all this stuff, and I got this crazy thing called Hep C, and I've kept it to myself for many, many years. Tell me about the decision to come out. Tell me about what fueled not speaking about it.
It was shameful. I was shamed when I was diagnosed with non-A, non-B. People shunned me. They wouldn't talk to me. They wouldn't come near me. And so I spent the rest of the years being afraid to let people know that I had it. And so I never told anybody. My family knew it, and they were the only ones that knew it.
And how did this affect your life beyond, say, letting people know that you had it? I mean,
I became healthier because of it. I'm grateful that I had hepatitis C because it kept me from mistreating my body. I took care of my liver. I was aware of it. You know, I still had a weight on my shoulders over it because I never knew if I was going to get sick again because I did get sick from it.
How so? What happened to you?
What I did was I lost all energy. I had no energy whatsoever. And anybody walked in the room that was sick, my immune system was shut down. I got sick.
And did you know that it was because of your Hep C that that was happening?
No, not until about the fifth or sixth doctor that I went to, and I begged them, and I told him after every doctor had said, you've got a virus, and, you know, just go on home, and you got a virus, you get over it. And the last doctor I went to was an ear, nose, throat specialist. And when he said, we have a virus, I looked at him and meant that if you don't find what's wrong with me, I'm going to kill myself. And he listened to me, and he did a simple blood test and told me I had non-A, non-B. It was very discouraging because doctors treated me as if I was just crazy because I didn't look sick. I wasn't yellow, so I didn't have yellow eyes. I just didn't have absolutely no energy. But it was relieved to know what was wrong with me. But when I asked the doctor, now what do we do? How do I, you know, get cured? He said, there's nothing I can do for you. There is no cure.
What was the process you come out, if you will, on Hep C?
I had found out that there was a cure. Back in the day when it was interferon, I knew about that, but I was not going to go there. I'd heard too many horror stories. I didn't watch the TV commercials that told me about Harvoni. And then a dear friend of mine told me about it.
Told you about Harvoni.
Harvoni, that there was a cure. So when I actually, thank God for Obama, because I had insurance for the first time, you know, the Affordable Care Act. Without him, I didn't have insurance. So I was brave enough to go to the doctor and say, can I get this cure?
Your friend came to you and was like, your friend obviously knew you had Hep C.
Well, she didn't. She told me her story. And by her opening up to me and telling me her story, I then was able to tell her mine.
And did you do it right away, right there, right then, when she told you her story?
I think so. It was okay. And then she told me she had been cured and was like, really?
That sparked your interest.
Right.
What did you do from there?
So then I went to the doctor and they, you know, turned it in and the insurance company approved me. And then Aetna and North Carolina backed out of the Affordable Care Act. So in the middle of my treatment, they dropped me, even though they had approved me for the full treatment. And so I had to go with Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina. And then they denied me
access to the medication.
Access in the middle of my treatment.
So you had 3 months of treatment you needed to take, right?
Correct. And I'd only had 1 month.
So you were one third of the way through.
Correct.
When, given what's going on in our healthcare exchange and what's going on in our country, just things beyond your control shifted, which made you have to go to a different insurance company, which had restrictions. And so they're like, oh, even though you've started this and you're one third of the way, sorry, we're not giving you this.
Right. And so at this point, I can see a cure in sight. Mm. So I started fighting, and I went public on social media, which was a huge step for me. And you responded to my Facebook post. And I can't remember what I put in the post, but for the first time in 38 years that I'd had it, I went public. And I went public. I mean, when I went public, I went public.
Yeah, you did.
And at that point, I was angry that I was so grateful for Obama that I even had the opportunity to get the drug. And then I was angry with the system that said, okay, well, we're gonna cut you off in the middle of your treatment, or third way through your treatment, which was ridiculous. So the second time it was turned in, they did accept it. But I was already prepared to go to battle. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I don't want to start this all over again. And I didn't have a lapse, but I thought there was going to be a lapse in my treatment, which would have probably meant I would have had to start over again. Mm-hmm.
And so I remember reaching out to you, and then I just said, let's get in touch with each other.
Yes.
Because what happens is that so many people don't know about the various resources that exist to get access to the med. That doesn't have to include India, right?
Right.
And sometimes that is an option for people. But we started connecting.
We did.
I'm curious sort of if what sticks out for you there, and really what was the larger response that you got?
The way I felt when you responded to me, now I'm going to cry, is there was help, and that I didn't have to go it alone. That there were people that I'd spent 30 years of knowing, but I'd had it for 38 years of knowing and shame, that I needed to hide it. When in truth, there were people that would help me, and that there were more people out there, and people reached out to me when their father just died from it and wished they had been healthy. And, you know, but the fact that you were there was like a savior for me. It was like an anchor. It was like a beacon of hope. It was like, okay, I've got this because I've got help. I didn't have to go it alone. And that was huge.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming to Chicago and sharing your story.
It's my pleasure.
Persevering, bringing my mom, Ozzy, and Gracie. And I guess I want to give you an opportunity to say anything else that you want to say in these moments.
I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to call you my friend. I'm honored, and I don't know if I said it earlier, I'm grateful that I had hepatitis C. It changed my life in a positive way. Thank you for telling my story.
You can't get rid of us now, so. Thanks, Kathy.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it is.